Welcome to the SMA edition of Rare Disease Advisors' Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the spinal muscular atrophy community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the Muscular Dystrophy Association's 2024 MDA Clinical and Scientific Conference in Orlando, Florida. Our guest today is Ira Walker, MDA's National Ambassador for 2024. Ira, originally from St. Louis, Missouri, is a human resources professional for a healthcare company and currently lives in Fort Lauderdale. He also has spinal muscular atrophy type 2. As such, Ira is one of two ambassadors, and his aim, in his own words, is to be a voice to empower independence and hope. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Ira, so you're a national ambassador for 2024. What does that mean exactly?
That means that I am an individual, an adult, that can help to inspire and emulate hope and possibilities for others with neuromuscular conditions.
Ira, tell us your story. How were you diagnosed? Where were you born? Tell us a bit about your background and how you came to be here today.
Absolutely. So I was born in St. Louis, Missouri back in 1984. Prior to being born, my sister, Ramonda Walker, was born in 1978, and she also was born with muscular dystrophy. I grew up in a neighborhood in St. Louis to two amazing parents, Jovita and Ira Walker, and they instilled in us great values that helped that were paramount in us growing up with a rare condition. But they helped us to see the value and helped us to know that we had a great worth and that we could still, even with a rare condition, still achieve great things in life. And we both have.
So your older sister also has SMA type 2.
That's correct, yes, sir.
And how old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was a year old when I was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Did you receive any kind of treatment or therapies, or at the time there was none available?
There wasn't anything available. You know, a lot of the treatments, especially for SMA, have come about, I want to say, over the past 10 years, which is great. I mean, that gives us, that's been the prayer, the hope that we've all been wanting. But I have been fortunate to have started a treatment 3 years ago.
Which was?
I am on Aristi.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
Prior to that, I mean, growing up with this condition, how did it affect you? And what did it either limit you to do or not limit you?
That's a great question. And that's a question that I think a lot of people have. You know, having a rare condition can limit one. But I think that if you surround yourself in a good community, around people that really see the value of you, that you are able to still excel in life. And that's what I was fortunate. I was blessed to be able to be around a supportive community, whether it was great parents, great medical providers, great people, great educators. That really helped me to know that even with a unique condition, even being in a wheelchair, I still had significant value and I was still able to live out my dreams.
Were you always in a wheelchair?
Yes, sir.
From the beginning?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and did you know any other kids with SMA growing up?
You know, it's funny that you asked that. There were a few kids that I went to primary school with that had SMA. And they all are actually doing fairly well in adulthood.
Was that coincidental?
You know, that is, I think there are some that do very well, and there are some that may not.
So when you were growing up, obviously gene therapy was still a dream. Zolgensma didn't exist, Spinraza didn't exist, Risdiplam, none of this existed. What did you do to improve the quality of your life, either through exercise, other therapies, diet, etc.?
So my doctors always recommended physical therapy. Also being active. I was always a very active kid and an active youth. I stayed very active. My parents kept me very active. growing up from the time I was in the fourth grade until I graduated high school, I was in school band, which kept me very active.
What'd you play?
I played the clarinet from the time I was in the fourth grade until the eighth grade. And then when I got to high school, I played the xylophone.
Oh, and did you, at the time, did you know much about the disease?
Yeah, I knew what, you know, I was educated by my doctors. And I, growing up in St. Louis, I went to an amazing care center at WashU. And they did a great job of helping to educate my family and I about the condition.
So, Ira, talk about the challenges and obstacles. I mean, I'm sure there are. Having SMA over the years, what have you seen? What have been some of the difficulties in dealing with this?
And that's a great and that's a fair question. You know, over time, my physical strength has waned. It has gotten, I have gotten weaker. And that is, with having a progressive condition, that is the likely trajectory, is to get weaker.
Specifically, what could you do in the past that you can't do now?
That's great question. So I used to be able to, when I was a kid, I could get in and out of bed by myself. But, you know, as I got into my teenage years, I was no longer able to do that. I used to be able to lift my arms all the way up above my head. But into adulthood, I could no longer do that.
And when did you lose the ability to lift your arms?
I started to lose a lot of the abilities that I used to be able to do in my youth when I got into my teenage years.
I see.
When, yeah, and then also, when I got into my 20s, I could start to feel my strength start to really decline.
Did you ever suffer any kind of bullying or discrimination as a result of the SMA?
No, you know, and that is a part of being in a good community, for people to know your value and to see past your disability. To not see you just as an individual in a wheelchair. I have always, because my parents taught me to be around people that see the best in you, and that you will have a better life when you surround yourself around people that see the greater value in you, and not people that are uncomfortable around you because of your disability.
Right. Let's talk a bit about the MDA as an organization and what the MDA has done for you.
Absolutely. The MDA has been an amazing organization from the start of my life. The MDA was paramount in getting my mother information and support in helping to raise two children with a neuromuscular condition. Whether it's connecting to community, connecting to resources, MDA has always been there.
Your sister is 6 years older than you?
She is. She's 6.5 years older.
And what is her name?
Ramonda Walker.
Ramonda.
Yes. She's the brains of the family.
And what did she, how did she help you with? Or what did she help you with?
That's a great question. You know, my sister has been really a role model and a hero for me. Being that she is 6 years older than me, she really helped to pave the path of a lot of the independence, a lot of the resources, and really helped to be a guiding light from my youth into adulthood.
So a lot of this conference is focused on gene therapy.
Absolutely.
For not only for SMA, but for all neuromuscular diseases. And yet we know that it's not a panacea. It certainly helps, but then some families don't see progress after a certain time, and then they start seeing a decline. What's your take on research, the current state of development of research for SMA and specifically for gene therapy?
I think it provides us with great hope. It gives us to know that there are possibilities and there is significant hope for the future, and that, you know, it is, I think that is what I get out of that, is significant hope.
So as National Ambassador, what are you expected to do specifically?
Well, I am to be one that helps to emulate courage, emulate hope, to really help to be a cheerleader to those, and to help people to see that us with MD, we have great value and can be champions in our communities.
What about in the state of Florida? What's the status of rare disease care here in this state?
That is a great question. It is. I do run into people with muscular dystrophy here. There are communities of people and MDA. There are individuals down in the state of Florida with MDA. So there are communities and there are people down here with that are thriving, that are living good lives.
And you said your dream was to live in Florida.
My dream is, yes, and I made that dream come true 2 years ago.
Was that because of the weather?
That, you know, was something like that, yeah. You know, there is, what's not to like about living in under palm trees 365 days a year, warm weather, a cosmopolitan life. Yeah, living in Florida is great.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you now about on the national level, we've heard a lot about legislation, wheelchair access, Americans with disabilities, travel, airlines responsibility, making it easier for people in wheelchairs to travel. And just recently, it looks like you got a victory on Capitol Hill with the passage of this act that expands possibilities for people in wheelchairs, right?
Absolutely, and I think it is, it's very encouraging, and it's a step in the right direction. Hopefully there will be a time where those with disabilities, especially those wheelchair users, where we can effortlessly travel and have the same rights and ways to move about this world without any issue.
Ira, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate the conversation. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.